Welcome inside the classroom. It's time for your weekly smart look at sports here from Marist College. We are not in our brand new studio. More on that in a second. I'm Jeff Brault alongside Dr.
You
Keith
just got
Schroeder.
Me salty.
He runs the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. Normally, this is the part of the show
where I get happy.
Where I introduce our lead student producer and esteemed guest of Keith Schroeder and I in Tuscaloosa, Alabama at last week's Iron Bowl, Mike Wallace. But I will not be doing that today.
Nope.
Why not, Keith Schroeder?
I'll tell you what. So I was poised. Was this show not going to be my victory lap? Was that not going to be how this is supposed to work?
You are in your glory today.
Right. Do I look glorious right now?
You do not.
Do I look? I look like Nick Saban at that press conference this week.
You look. Right? You look leathered. Leathered and worried.
So this is what happened. I walk in here as I normally do about 15 minutes before the show comes.
That's generous.
Yeah. He had donuts.
A donut.
That's so Anna Grizulis.
I walk
Hello,
in
Anna.
Here.
Yeah.
Hi.
All right. So I walked in here with the donuts, including the candy cane ones with the crunch on top of them.
It's a donut that does too much, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, it's a donut. That donut does a whole lot. And so I walk in here and made sure security came and opened up the door, which is a whole other issue, by the way. And so get in here, and I expect to see Mike Wallace leading the troops, getting ready for our live stream, the whole operation, right?
If you're new to the program, we have two studios where we broadcast live from the Lowell Thomas Communication Center at Marist. One is a traditional radio studio downstairs in the lower level. It is exactly what you'd expect a radio studio to look like. The other is basically a television studio
yes.
that we have rigged to both be able to handle an audio broadcast yeah. and to also send our live stream over the internet, which is getting tens of viewers.
Yeah.
I mean, people are loving. I know.
We've had 800, 900 viewers.
People are loving the live stream, but they're not loving it this morning, especially Anna and I. Anna, I believe, said, what did you say you did this morning?
I put on a lot of makeup. So
well, that
nice.
I put on a lot of makeup a lot of times.
I woke up 3 minutes All earlier right. than usual to shave, and now no one can enjoy.
All right, so I show up, and everyone's doing their job, right? Everyone's doing their job. Michael Hines doing his job. Michael Hines sporting a lot less hair than the last time we saw him. All right, Oliver still probably thinks we're going live. He probably didn't realize we all left. Oliver lives in his own world. Doesn't wear pants. He lives by his own rules and his own conventions. He probably doesn't even realize there's not a show going on. He's just doing his thing, right? And I say, all right, are we connected? And that was then answered with, there's no Mike Wallace.
Now, MIA.
Mike Wallace is the only guy who has learned how to connect from the upstairs studio. It's not a complicated process, but it's a process.
Mike Wallace took it upon himself 5 months ago. Took it upon himself
yep.
to lead this team.
He's listening, by the way, in the car. You realize that.
To lead this ragtag group of nobodies. He said, no. I am the captain now. I will take...
Are you
in that accent. He
yep.
said it in that
I will
accent.
Take this
Look
merry...
Look at me. Look at me.
That's the name
yes.
of our group chat.
Look at me.
Me, Mike, and Kristen's
I am the captain now. Captain. Oh, that group chat's about to get a new name. That group chat's about to get a new name and a new participant.
Mike Wallace put responsibility on his own shoulders.
That's right.
He said he would lead this ragtag band of misfits
right.
to the promised land. And 1 week after.
He's about to get the Moses treatment. You're not going into Israel.
Friends.
By the way,
we're sitting here.
We took him to Israel. We took him to Israel.
1 week after Mike Wallace
took him to Alabama.
Ride shotgun to Tuscaloosa, Alabama to sit 50-yard line mid-deck at the Iron Bowl.
Field on the field for the end of the game.
He urinating next to Vern Lundquist.
He shook hands with a governor who was heavily embroiled in a sex scandal.
No, that was me. That was me.
Oh. By the way, just interesting. We did meet. We'll be talking about all this in a little bit after we get done making fun of Michael Wallace, which might run at least two segments. Hey, Jeff, can you stick around for another segment? So we'll get through this. By the way, we said all along, this is a learning laboratory.
And an important tease, and it is. And this is a life lesson for Mike Wallace, and he's going to receive a harsh lesson later because he is on his way to the studio this morning. He will be here to speak for himself. You're going to want to stay tuned for that.
And by the way, if
I don't like confrontation.
Oh, you're both, then you might want to clear out of this joint. So here's my question. That whoever on Twitter called me a liberal you-know-what last night,
yes.
they're about to see the other side of me.
Yes.
So if you're Wallace right now and you're listening in the car,
mm-hmm.
what's your move?
You got to take your medicine. You have to. Listen, the only thing worse than making a huge mistake is not owning that huge mistake.
I agree with you.
You know, at this point, the original mistake has been made. That happened. You know, we hope that we are judging him unfairly and that there was a serious incident and that we will have to eat our words later. We hope.
However, you gotta own your stuff. I absolutely am listening in the car right now.
Mike Wallace has confirmed that he can hear us.
Is there anything you'd like to say?
I'd like to tell him to please obey all posted speed limit laws.
It doesn't matter now.
He's probably stuck at that stoplight we have outside.
It's not my issue. Not my issue.
Coming up later in the show, we will hear from Mike Wallace as to why, 1 week after, we tote him to Tuscaloosa, Alabama, to basically coil some wires for us. He is a show pony. We trot him out at the Iron Bowl.
Yep. You and I could have done this by ourselves. We could have stayed in a better hotel room.
We could have. Or at the very least, a less crowded hotel room, because all three of us did stay in one room.
Did share a room.
After we give
that
Mike Wallace...
That would have been more awkward, but continue.
And don't beg. After we give Mike Wallace the experience of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. Of a lifetime. His life, let's be honest, has peaked. It peaked last week.
And by the way, just know where our priorities lie. My 9-year-old son begged to come, and I said, no, I'm taking Mike.
Not only your 9-year-old son, there are 5 people sitting amongst us in this room right now, all of whom would have loved to have gone.
The mutiny in this room might be strong. I think when Mike Wallace walks in the room, one of you might say, look at me.
Look.
Doug or Adam.
You know what? If Mike Wallace was here, we would have...
from left field.
We would have
here comes Oliver.
Yeah. We would have the computer plugged in, and we could have played that sound.
Yeah. Can't do it now. Oliver, of course. Now, this is a great visual. It'd be great on live stream, but we don't have that. Because one of our leaders has let us down.
Our captain.
So was I? And the listeners know me. You know me as a fun loving, easygoing kind of guy. Did I? This is about as salty as you've seen me, isn't it?
You had some rage going.
It's not normal for me.
No, you were more serious than I'm used to it. Yes. At 9:45 a.m. before a show.
I think it's always uncomfortable when the guy who's always fun gets angry.
Well, you're not an authoritarian leader.
No. I'm a collaborative kind of guy.
Very laissez-faire.
That's right.
This morning, when we were walking in the parking lot, you seemed pretty tired.
I was fine.
But you were very... I was having a stressful moment.
I told you to calm down.
Like 99% of
the time. I said relax.
You told me deep breath. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be fine.
He's telling me to smile. And then we walk in and it didn't.
Then,
it hit the fan.
That's right. You saw the other side.
It's bad.
The carrot. And the stick.
That stick is going to get real sharp.
So fans of the classroom, your weekly smart look at sports, are going to get two things this morning. You're going to get one, basically a verbal beatdown of Mike Wallace for 2 hours. I mean, we are going to take this man's soul by the time this program is over.
Okay.
You're also going to get a look into some of the sports issues of the week. Chief amongst them, the Chapecoense tragedy. The Brazilian soccer team and the plane crash went down in Colombia. Obviously, terrible, terrible tragedy. We're going to talk about how sports bring people together in times of tragedy, and whether that's tragedy that directly impacts a sports team and a sports league, as this one did, or whether it's a tragedy outside of the lines. Sports have something of a unique power to make these incidents a little bit better, and we're going to get into that this morning.
And, you know, reviewing some of the notes, there are a lot of tragedies that have happened in the sports world that involved, you know, a lot of plane crashes. I mean, there are bus crashes, a lot of plane crashes. And I guess, look, if you think about it, there are a ton of teams that travel by plane all over, and a lot that travel in charter planes and, you know, things that are – I don't want to say they're less safe, certainly, but I think – Why are you laughing?
Nothing. Because I saw Oliver in his sleeveless T-shirt. It's 38 degrees outside.
Oliver came down here, took a donut, and walked out.
Yeah, exactly. And then he was eating that donut outside the window for some reason.
So I'm surprised at the number of tragedies, and I can only imagine the kind of impact that has on certainly on a team, but on a community. I mean, I think Marshall's the one that I think we associate with the most, largely because Matthew McConaughey, who's going to play me in my film at some point, hopefully in a happier time. But... I think that's a, you know, situation we all kind of relate to. But when you lose these big parts of your teams and your big parts of your communities, I think that has to hit very, very hard for a lot of people.
In our second hour this morning, we'll talk about something that we love to discuss here in the classroom, the intersection of sports and technology. Basically, in the NFL, they want to put chips in the footballs.
Mm. Yeah, and this is actually something we're getting involved with at the Center for Sports Communication about how we might be able to test putting sensors on athletes, which is something that's already being done, but we want to see if we can create a more unique user experience for our fans. Just keep playing with that, Mike. We're going to create a better experience for our fans through the use of body-worn sensors. But one of the things that the people we've talked to who work in this technology space is don't forget about the footballs and the basketballs. They have all the technology they need to put a chip in a basketball or in a football that will give you essentially real-time data on where that football is. So all of this craziness we have about did he get a first down or did he not get a first down, we can solve that problem almost instantly. And there have been some academics and some industry folks who've been working on this. And one of the big problems with the chip and the ball and the football is it's hard to get through all the bodies. A lot of mass there. But they can probably do that. And I think that's relevant to a lot of people right now because if it weren't for perhaps that, we might see Michigan playing in the college football playoffs right now. They'd be number two in the country. Right now they're on the outside looking in, hoping that Washington blows it. It's probably not going to happen. By the way.
Well, that actually, they didn't blow it last night.
Oh, they play last night?
Yeah.
They didn't even come close to that.
Was a great tease. That was a great throw. See, last night I was busy. That was a great throw. You threw it into my lap. See, last night I was busy.
You weren't busy last night. It was pre-recorded. Go ahead. Go ahead. We got to crush your ego after the break. I'm sorry because we're up against a time limit. Also, this morning we will discuss the return of Tiger Woods. He's back.
Wait. When are we gonna talk about me?
Top of the next segment.
Talk about me?
Waiting for Mike Wallace to come in. We'll talk about you. We'll call you a liberal namby-pamby. It'll be great.
call me a superstar. Washington won. So they're in.
Almost certainly.
Yeah. And now it's really on Clemson at this point.
Yes.
It's a Clemson world.
And that could kill all the drama except for the contrived drama. If Clemson wins, your four is pretty much set.
Yeah, and now I got to tell you, there's already been some back-and-forth talk with our good friends down at the University of Alabama, our particular good friend Andy Billings, who's on the wrong side of history today because my Florida Gators are a 24-point underdog.
Wow.
I know. 24. On a neutral field.
Auburn last week was 17.5, and they manhandled Auburn.
Yeah, and they covered, but not by much.
By a point.
By a point. But you got the idea that Alabama could win by as much as they absolutely felt like. And 18 points at that point felt like 300. 24 points on a neutral field in a championship game. As that's not a normal number.
Roll Tide.
So I am real jacked up. That's a 4 o'clock game today. By that time, I'm still going to be angry at Michael Wallace. Can we read some of the nasty tweets I got last night?
We will. We will, certainly. In fact, I would love to. Also, as mentioned, Tiger Woods returning to golf. Maybe the singularly most dominant individual athlete ever. And his presence now back on our TV screens on
Do you think he was the most
Sunday
dominant
afternoon.
Ever?
Individual athlete? Yeah. I mean, when Tiger was at his peak in the mid to late 90s.
Did a tennis player ever reach that? There was always a foil in the tennis world.
I mean, his dominance was so great. I mean, people forget just winning. Because obviously winning a golf tournament is very, very difficult no matter how good you are. He made 170 some odd cuts at one point. That is unfathomable.
Yeah. Look, the fact that everything became Tiger against the field.
Right.
That's an actual betting line. Or that people that did drafts, golf drafts, you would have to remove Tiger.
Tiger was so dominant. It was one of my favorite sports quotes of all time. There was somebody who was like a shot behind Tiger going into Sunday at a major golf tournament. And they asked this golfer, they go, what do you think you'll have to shoot to beat Tiger tomorrow? And the golfer looks at the reporter and goes, I think you'll have to shoot Tiger.
That's a good comeback.
Not a nice thing to say, obviously.
But that's how dominant he was. He had a one-stroke lead on the last day, and the guy was like, I don't know what I can do.
So what? How did he play so far in this tournament? Did he make a cut?
So the first day he played okay. He didn't score well. He started off very well. He was 3 under on his front nine, and then he ran into some trouble on the back nine and was 4 over. So he was
missed the cut.
No, there is no cut in this tournament. There's only 18 people in it.
This is like us playing like intramural.
Yes, if you were playing intramural against the 18 best players in the world.
Sure, you could do that.
And then yesterday, he had an excellent round. He kept a clean card, no bogeys, going 6 under par yesterday. Or, excuse me, I believe 7 under par yesterday to be 6 under par for the tournament to this point. So he's playing pretty well.
Golf might need Tiger Woods.
You're going to have to talk into that mic.
Yeah, Sorry, Hannah's got an odd mic.
Okay,
she's got like an old school-y looking mic.
I feel like I'm at a 1950. 50s.
Yes. Yeah,
it does.
And for some reason, we haven't been in this studio in a couple weeks.
They replaced one mic with something that you use off a TV set.
I was here last week. Well, they were in Tuscaloosa.
But that looks like the mic if they were...
That's much better. You have to talk into that side of it.
Is this better?
If they were doing like a fake broadcast during a filming of The Rocketeer.
Yes, exactly right. It's exactly what...
Whoa, they've taken off. The man has taken off from the planet.
So we got sports helping communities heal after tragedies, Tiger Woods returning to golf, technology in football and footballs, the actual physical object.
Right.
We're going to talk about that in the classroom.
Soccer, by the way, just in football, because soccer is another sport they talk a lot about.
Goal line technology.
Yeah.
Plus, we got grades of the week, some crazy sports laws. We're going to talk about those a little bit later in the program. And the flagellation of Mike Wallace is coming up next. Class is in session. Stay tuned here on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. Back in the classroom here on Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. Don't forget to throw us a like on Facebook by searching for ESPN The Classroom. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN_Classroom. Right now, though, do not go to our Twitter account and look for a link to our live stream because we don't have it. We're in our old studio this morning for a long list of reasons. Well, I lied. It's a very short list of reasons. Mike Wallace didn't show up. That's why we're not in our new studio.
Apparently he's upstairs right now.
Well, he should be downstairs to take his medicine.
So can we talk about my newfound fame?
Yes. So before we get into how sports can help communities heal after tragedy.
It's something important. Let's get into something really important.
Let's note that last night, Keith Strudler was featured on PBS News.
It's hard for you right now.
I
know.
It's a fact.
I retweeted it. Anna,
don't don't support this ego. don't do that. That's not okay.
I know him.
Here's my favorite part of the segment.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm going to say? My favorite part of the segment? The segment was titled... In my humble opinion.
I knew that. When that came on, I actually thought of you. You were like, boy, they missed the boat on that gun.
You can fool some of the people all of the time.
I said, boy, that was a bad title.
I thought that too, Jeff.
So,
I was like, huh?
If you're amongst the millions that have no idea where PBS is on their television dials and haven't watched PBS since they were in diapers and wanted to see Elmo... Keith Strudler was on it last night.
Keith Strudler was on.
I didn't watch it live because I'll be honest, couldn't tell you how to get to PBS if you gave me a map and a flashlight.
You are an adult.
But I did see it on Twitter.
That's right.
So I did watch on Twitter your commentary. And tell the people what you did and what your point was.
On PBS NewsHour, which is their kind of nightly news program. It's an hour-long news program. And that's Judy Woodruff's. And on a serious note, that was Gwen Ifill, who passed away recently, unexpectedly and very sadly. That's their nightly news broadcast. Oh, apparently Mike Wallace is in the building. So he is not going to show that. Let's not. Oh boy, this is going to get real ugly. Oh boy, don't come in here. Don't come in.
Oh God.
So last night I went actually taped this quite some time ago, maybe a few weeks ago. Went down to D.C. and did a commentary, and I do, again, not trying to, I do a weekly commentary for WAMC, which is a public radio station based out of Albany. You can get in this area up to Vermont and, you know, so forth. So I do commentaries quite often. I do that every week. I was able to do an essay on the future of youth football, which aired at the end of their program and the end of their nightly news program. And they bring in experts, and every week they bring in someone to do kind of an essay on a topic. So I did a piece, which they edited and did a really nice job editing. They did everything but make my ears look small, which is the only thing I told them they needed to do.
That's hard.
There's nothing, yeah. That's the worst part. I was like, when I asked my wife, I was like, what do you think? She's like, it was great. And I was like, what would you fix? And she was like, your ears. It's not good. When your wife tells you the thing you want to fix, she wants to fix, is your physical appearance. Stuff, right? So my the essay was on I thought that it's time to get rid of youth football. Just get rid of it altogether. Up until until junior high school. Right? And so it was a video essay. It was about, you know, 2.5-3 minutes. I got a nice throw from Judy Woodruff. Best part of this, during the middle of the show, they would tease the segment, and the tease was just my face up on the screen. My face. National TV up on the screen. They threw it to that, and then also then, you know, obviously they were posting on Twitter, and I got some interesting. I mean, look, if you do commentary like this, and you do the it's time to get rid of youth football, you might as well just throw a firebomb into the.
And not only did Keith Strudler say it's time to get rid of youth football, he then suggested at the very end that those same children play soccer.
That's right.
which to, I'm going to say, 85% of America and 100% of it below the Mason-Dixon line, that's a turd in the punch bowl.
That is how you get, that's how you lose your citizenship at this point. So
it's a good thing we went to Alabama last week.
Oh, God.
Because they would have stopped you at the border.
Excuse me. You two are welcome. That guy. We're going to have to do a little bit of.
Take your foot bowl back to Spain.
So I did get, look, I'll read just for the, and by the way, if you want to see the commentary, it's on at SportsCom Maris, so on the Twitter feed for the Center for SportsCom, obviously at Keith Strudler.
We'll retweet it at ESPN on Short Classroom.
We'll repeat it at ESPN Classroom as well. But I got some nice, we actually got a lot of Twitter, I mean a lot of retweets, that's good. So we got some really good ones. I'll give you some of the, you don't want to hear the nice ones.
Of course not.
You don't want to hear the, you don't want to hear the really good ones, like, that was fantastic. I agree with your 3 points spot on.
Well, look, you're not exactly in the lion's den on PBS.
Yes, my kids were never playing. No, you don't want to hear that.
You know, the most conservative view on PBS is that, you know, someone should have to pay a copay when they go to a doctor instead of having all their health care 100% covered.
You want these. Oh, no.
Here we go. I like this one.
Here come the liberal crybabies. Again, with a picture of a crybaby, a baby
yes,
crying.
Yes, an actual baby crying, yes.
You might also like this one. Let's see. There's one that I think we can particularly like. One of the this is what they said about my commentary last night on national TV.
At tweeted to Keith Strudler, so this is someone wanting him to see this comment.
One of the worst segments I've seen on the PBS NewsHour in a while. The participation trophy era continues. Of course, now
which
this,
is odd because it had nothing to do with participation.
But well, I got several of that. Oak. Now that Twitter handle was, of course, Bro Dude Bro.
So and you'll notice he did not put his own picture accompanying his Twitter account, as they most
often
do.
Look
note.
At how many followers
someone,
they have.
Someone who's used the Twitter handle Trump Rules, or that's his name. The handle is actually Hillary's a felon. called it fake news. Of course, not news at all.
Not at all. It is literally the title of the segment included the word opinion.
So
there you go.
That was some of the highlights. I mean, my favorite, of course, is this was the worst. Oh, there was one other. Oh no, there was one other that I think was a little upset that public dollars were going to fund garbage like this.
Yes, I saw that one. Yes, yes, indeed. Because I'm sure the expense of your train ticket to Washington, D.C. put the U.S. government right on the edge.
Taxpayer dollars at work with PBS. You've got to watch this. I thought that was going to be good. Like, you got to watch this. I'm like, yes. Oh, my God, there are no words.
So check out ESPN_Classroom. We'll retweet Keith Strudler's commentary from the NewsHour on PBS last night. You can check it out. And let him know what you think by sending him a tweet about how awful he is and how big his ears are.
Ridiculous premise we got from someone named DeHaas.
Now, let's get into this morning's big story. We'll get
is
Mike Wallace
the
on.
Big
Mike
story
Wallace
that Mike
has no. Mike Wallace has
oh,
returned,
he
and we're going to get to him in our next segment.
What are we going to do?
We're going to give him a brief reprieve from the governor.
I need to know this because this is going to be. Because look, I have to decide whether I'm going to set the hounds off on him, because there are a lot of angry folks in this room who came here to do some work, can't do the work now. They're just Oliver doesn't know what to do with himself. All right, and so there's a lot of angry people in this room. Now my question is, are we going to go kind of renegade justice where I let the mob rule?
Oh, like how Ramsay Bolton met his end in Game of Thrones, spoiler alert.
The roast of Michael Wallace.
So, I mean, do I just say, look, I don't want to know. You handle justice on your own.
I'm going to turn the lights off, and when I come back in this room, I want to see him on the ground.
So do we go that route? Or what's the legal limit that we have here in the state of New York?
That's a great question. We should get our classroom lawyer on the phone.
You can't touch him. You can't.
Daniel Hare, what are we allowed to do in this situation? What's provable? Phones off, everyone.
We do have to figure out who needs to play our big story intro music, because as you know, in the classroom, we have a longstanding tradition. If you are not capable of getting our audio to roll into the soundboard to play our segment intros, you have to sing said segment intro. So I think what we need to do is we need to put Mike Wallace on a microphone temporarily, not allow him to speak outside of telling us that this is this morning's big story.
I do actually have an interesting. I don't think Nuzzo. First of all, I don't think you can sing. Am I right on that?
I am horrendous.
That's Adam Nuzzo. Dynamite dropping.
Yeah. I'm almost wondering if I'd rather let him do it.
Let's have him take a shot
at it. Two things.
Because he doesn't want to is why I think he should.
And also, I'm not so sure. Despite having been on the show now for a full semester, I don't think he still knows the music.
That's possible. And also, what you're doing here is just stirring up more hatred in the others.
I don't really know the music.
You're starving the dogs.
Can you sing it? All right, here's what I want you to do. You know what? I'm not going to make you sing that song. Sing any song that comes to your heart that would signify Big Story. And just put the word Big Story. If you want to sing Big Story to the theme song for the Love Boat, sing,
this
Big
Story. Doesn't know the theme
story.
Song from the Love Boat. If you want to do it to the tune of the theme song from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, we'll accept that as well.
Just make sure you get the words Big Story in there. Whatever you want to do. Ready? Today's Big Story.
It's a Big Story.
That was terrible. That was awful.
But it's like the sound.
No, Oliver, get a can. All right.
That was awful. Yeah. Should we have Oliver do it? I bet Oliver would be good. I bet
sing?
He'd like start beatboxing.
All right, let's go, Oliver. What do you got? You got 10 all seconds. Right. All right, today's big story.
It's the big story.
That is good.
That was good.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Well,
now I'm fired up.
That's a producer.
Now I'm fired up and ready to go.
Yeah.
Big story this week, the Chapecoense Brazilian football team, it's Brazilian soccer, vast majority of them died in a tragic plane crash. 71 people were killed in this plane crash in Colombia. 6 of those people survived, 3 of them are players, 19 of the deceased were players, there were 20 journalists on board that died as well. Chapecoense in the middle of a season. Obviously, that has now taken a backseat to this very, very serious tragedy. And one thing that we have seen in this instance, as we have in similar instances in the past, the sports world coming together to help Chapecoense, the team, their fans, the community in which it represents. And I think, you see in times of terrible tragedy like this, the good and the power of sport in society.
Yeah, I think so. I think sport is linked to tragedy in a lot of different ways. Often sport is used as a way of healing from other tragic situations. I mean, 9/11, obviously, sport was a big part of that healing process. And I think you see that the Superdome in New Orleans with the Hurricane Katrina and so forth. So there have been a lot of cases where we've seen sport kind of help the country heal or help a country heal. It's obviously much different when the tragedy is within the sport itself. And it's interesting. I actually, just kind of as a note, I actually kind of looked to see if there was any expert on this topic. And there really aren't. There's no one. I'm sure I'm probably offending someone right now. But there really aren't people that study that kind of tragedy. I mean, because this is a larger phenomenon. It's almost like what happens when half your family dies. I mean, this is a group that was representative and was kind of the heroes of a populace. And particularly in Brazil, where they matter so much, where a soccer club is such an important part of a community. What I thought was really interesting was that the other clubs came together and they said, well, you can have our players or, we'll find a way to make that team whole, which is something that we've seen before. I actually saw a really interesting quote from a colleague of mine down at Oklahoma State and who runs their sports media program. And he said at this point, most sports leagues, particularly in this country, have a very distinct plan for what happens in cases just like this, which I found really interesting.
True.
That this is and Anna, you probably, hopefully you didn't actually become familiar with it, but in that commissioner's office, there is a distinct plan of what happens when more than 5 players from a league die.
Or
if more
fought,
yeah. There are very specific protocol. And Jeff, you work in PR a lot, so you'd understand kind of. I'm sure you have policies about on this all the time.
In the NBA, if a disaster occurs in which 5 or more players die or become otherwise unable to play basketball, the league will hold what is known as, quite morbidly, a disaster draft to replace the individuals on the team that was affected. And basically what this means is every other team gets to protect 5 of their players, and everybody else is available to be drafted by the team that needs to replenish.
It's probably not the direction that we should be taking this, but that's not a good team. You might as well call that Tampa Bay Bucks in 1974.
In the NFL, they separate a near disaster, which is when fewer than 15 players of the 56 on the roster, when fewer than 15 players are killed or lost, unable to compete in football anymore. In that instance, you have to play out the season what you have, but your team is given priority on free agents. So you can, you know, of who's available, who's not currently on a roster, right, your team gets preference to those players. If there is a disaster in which it's more than 15 people, the NFL basically does the same thing. They hold a restocking draft where teams can protect a certain number of players. You pick from them, and you get the number one pick in the next year's draft. Very similar in Major League Baseball, where, again, you protect a certain number of players, and the other ones are unprotected. It's sort of what happens when when leagues expand,
right,
when there's an expansion draft.
Similar. That's how I remember the Bucks, because that was like my first sports team, and they started in 76, right? And I remember that whole process of them just getting garbage. It was literally like they just get garbage. They get all the players that don't matter. And the reality is you're just going to lose. Obviously, you become the favorite team of the league, and everyone cheers for it, but you're still going to lose a lot of games.
Well, of
I'm sure there's a couple of inspirational wins that come in there.
But the point is, it's everybody else helping you, you know, remain in existence.
So what's interesting to me, and if you go back and you trace the Marshall case, mm-hmm, Marshall considered very seriously getting rid of their football program.
Of course.
And not just for logistics, like, oh, we lost all our players and our coaches, but because it's hard to continue on. It's hard for me to understand fully the psychology of trying to rebuild that team that is going to forever be marked by that tragedy. I mean, there is no point, even Marshall to this day, there is no point that you can not play for Marshall and not be aware of what happened there.
But I think that helps them. I mean, I think that's part of the motivation. I think that's part of the motivation behind it.
I understand that, but there is a weight that kind of is that's over that team in the immediate years right after. The weight is almost incomprehensible. But that becomes a very serious part of the history of that program.
Of course. It should.
It obviously has to be.
Remembrance is a good thing. Remembrance of tragedy, but so is continuation.
Sure.
Not being beaten by whatever external force has impacted you. I mean, that's a critical part of the human condition.
Interesting. One of the more interesting, I think, things that came out of it. One of the players that survived, a handful of people survived this crash, retired immediately.
One of the Chappaquanza soccer players?
One of the surviving players retired immediately, said, I can't go on.
Fully understandable.
Yeah, so I don't. That's kind of where I am. Like, how do you find a way to kind of rejoin that organization?
Yeah. Obviously it's a significant tragedy for the fans and for the family members of the players impacted, but how about the players that survived? The players that survived the incident and the players that weren't on the charter. I mean, that is a very, very difficult place to be.
And this has happened. You know, Oklahoma State's had problems. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of you see it a lot in colleges. Obviously, there's just way more colleges than there are professional teams. And not that they aren't using good gear, but I'm guessing the pro teams use the best of the best of the best and are less likely to use small charter jets and so forth. You'll see colleges use smaller charter jets, you know, minor league programs.
Sure. Well, they're also oftentimes not going quite as far. You know, pro teams usually take the same jet whether they're going from New York to Philadelphia or whether they're going from New York to Los Angeles.
They're flying in the big birds, right?
Right. Well, yeah, because they fly cross-country. Very rare that, say, you know, Evansville University, who is a school that was impacted by a tragedy similar to this, you know, they're spending most of their time flying around the Midwest.
Yes.
They're not, you know, jetting off cross country.
You know, my dad's rule on planes. My dad, you know, was a very successful business person and would fly in a lot of smaller private jets. He had two rules: two engines, two pilots. That's a good rule, by the way. And if you learn one thing from this show and you happen to be in the market for a private plane, two engines, two pilots.
It's a good rule.
It's a good rule.
If we've learned anything in the classroom these last couple weeks,
backups.
Have a backup. Always have a failsafe.
Right, so here's the deal. Well, how's your feeling about one engine or one pilot? Would you do it?
How far am I flying?
As far as that plane wants to go.
Well, I mean, I feel worse about one engine, one pilot if I'm trying to go a long distance. Well, I feel better about it if I'm hopping from like a regional airport to another regional airport
close by.
40 minutes away.
Well, I you don't want to cross the ocean, obviously.
No.
You don't want to cross the ocean. Let's say you're doing a cross-country flight, L.A., New York.
No.
All right. I'll sweeten the deal for you. Uh-huh. I'll sweeten the deal for you. The only people on that flight are going to be you. Who's that sideline reporter in Alabama?
Oh, Allie LaForce. She's married, unfortunately.
All right. A single Allie LaForce.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Just the two
of you. We going to cover a game, are we?
Yeah. Well, you're just going
to... A business trip?
Yeah, and you're just going to be talking the whole... You're the only two. One pilot, one engine.
Important question. Do we know the pilot? Because if you know the pilot and have a trust of the pilot, you know, oh, this is a good pilot. No, he knows what he's doing, or is it a random stranger?
Hey, look, you don't own the plane. They sent a jet for you. No, you got it. You know.
I'm uncomfortable with that situation. I'm not happy about
that. So Allie LaForce is waiting for you to get on the plane, and someone's going to have to go to her and say, "I'm sorry, Jeff can't do it."
I'd probably do it. I'd feel uncomfortable about it. I would not feel comfortable in that situation. I'm not a nervous flyer at all. I don't at all get nervous.
And
to fly.
And then let's say you meet the pilot and you take this. There's something a little off of that guy.
Then I might, if it's so overpowering.
But now Allie LaForce is clearly enjoying the conversation.
Now, if it's so overpowering,
you're in
the
a mental
sense
dilemma.
Of dread. If the sense of dread is so overpowering that I feel like I literally might be walking into my own death, I'm not going to go.
But you're not.
I'm not
going
to go. Because here's the thing: your margin of error in an airplane disaster is very slim.
But you're like, am I just reading into this? And or how about the pilot? Seems fine. It takes him twice to crank up that jet.
Oh, I'm okay with that because sometimes that happens. It could be cold outside. That doesn't concern me.
That doesn't concern
you?
No,
I'm not hugely concerned by that. That would not concern me.
But the pilot just seems a little spacey.
Yes, that would concern me.
But Allie LaForce, even when she meets you, kind of puts her hand on your shoulder.
No, I'd probably still... No.
I have a little bit of breaking news.
Okay, what do you got?
The team, excuse me, is currently having a memorial service as we speak.
Okay.
There have been a few of those.
Yeah.
They've. I thought Fox Sports Brazil did a very cool thing. When their last match was supposed to be played, they just played 90 minutes of silence as a tribute over the time where they would have been playing.
And when they were playing for the championship, correct?
They're not one of Brazil's best teams.
They're one of Brazil's second tier.
But I guess they were in like a continental tournament, so that's why they were going
they were
to
like
another
like
country.
Rags to riches type. You know.
Sure. But they weren't in the Premier.
Sort of in like the South, like they're sort of in like the South American Champions League.
You know, it's
impossible. To different countries.
That's true in Europe too. You can't keep track of like they're in this championship, but they're not in that championship. So they were second tier. But doing quite well, or in a lesser championship, and a team that wasn't really all that good, but had gotten really good, or was getting better.
Yeah, that's a good way.
I don't want to overplay this like this was Leicester City. It wasn't. I mean, this was a team that was getting much better and was playing for a title, but it wasn't the completely out of nowhere kind of situation. Yeah, it's very look. The whole thing's very sad. I don't know how you rebuild. I don't know how next year when you go to the stadium. That's where I find it challenging.
It takes time. That's it. I mean, it does.
Right, but I'm saying, but can you imagine the first game at the stadium next year?
It becomes a remembrance. You play for whatever it is you feel is the best thing for
you
in particular.
As a fan,
can
you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, you go, and the first game should be all about honoring the past, and you honor the victims. But after that, it becomes about returning to normal. I mean, you have to.
Let's get one more. This particular mistake, and I said the one pilot, one engine thing, kind of jokingly, but not really. The reality is they were on a jet that they shouldn't have been on.
That's correct.
They were on a jet.
And with a pilot who made some critical errors.
Yes. Like, oh, we're running low on fuel. Let's bring this thing down.
You know, he did that thing. This is a thing I would imagine Keith Strudler would do.
Oh, I run it. That red light on? Oh, yeah.
He did this thing where he knows he needs gas, but he feels like he can push it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which in a car is one thing because your worst case scenario is relatively limited. In a plane,
that's a
critical error.
No, no one runs red line more than me. Oh, boy. Because I figure, like, oh, we got at least 5 miles out of this. I'll go to the next gas station. They got a better slushy machine.
I wait till the bitter
end. I could see Anna, by the way, being much worse than me, to be honest.
I'm bound to have my car die next to a gas station.
On our trip back, this is just how I live my life. And we can get into this. This makes you uncomfortable the way I live my life.
It does, because it's the wrong way to live.
In fact, we had a little
situation. It's a horrible way to live.
We had a little situation getting back from Alabama.
No, you had a situation getting back from Alabama. Some of us were ready on time.
No, we were a team. Although one of our teammates this morning has just already jumped ship.
We've learned the strongest link in this chain. It's me.
So we left the hotel a little bit behind schedule.
40 minutes behind schedule.
No one told me 9:30. I thought it was 9. I mean, I was only...
Yeah, correct.
No one
correct.
Told me 9. I thought it was 9:30.
You're the one who said 9.
All right, well,
it was your schedule.
You should have known I meant 9:30.
You said 9.
All right.
Was the time.
It originally was 9:30. Who knows what time? We'll never get to the bottom of
it. It was 9.
We'll never know.
We've already gotten to the bottom of it.
We don't know
it was
what
9.
Time. We have
right.
no idea.
9.
So, and this
so
discussion.
So I show up at 9:35.
9:40.
Right, 9:35.
9:40.
I'm 35. And so I got in line behind someone who was having an argument about checking out.
No. Let's back this trolley up. Why were you 40 minutes late for departure?
Because I got lost when I was running.
Exactly. So why'd you go running?
Because unlike you, I want to live past the age of 50.
I will live longer than you.
Oh, that's not true.
Okay, I will live longer
Struthers,
than you.
In Struthers' defense, no. And for Jeff's benefit, Struthers needs to run. Otherwise, he would have been a crazy
that's
person.
That's been cranky.
I would rather he be cranky and on time than
that.
Relaxed
that's
and
right.
40 minutes
oh,
late.
Jeff, trust me.
Oh, 40
Jeff
minutes?
40 minutes?
No, that's not true.
Sorry,
that is not,
it was
I
absolutely
was,
true.
I was looking
no,
the rundown,
no, Jen, by the way, cranky
minutes.
And on time, that might as well be your surname. Cranky and on time.
That's true. That's true. That's how I live
but
my life.
Punctuality is important.
That's right.
Cranky and on time.
88% of life is showing up.
That's not true. That's the so we left a few minutes behind.
40.
We left a few minutes behind.
40.
Schedule. And by the way, the main problem there was a woman who had a surly attitude that decided she wanted to audit her bill at the hotel. And by the way, her problem was that they didn't clean her room the day before.
Now, that minor three-minute inconvenience of you waiting behind that person in line would have meant nothing had you not been 40 minutes late up to that point.
So, but then, by the way,
you were so late that Mike Wallace and I started loading bags into the car.
Good.
Before you even got back
that's
and
right.
moved the car closer to the entrance to save precious seconds.
So you did have a conversation of what happens if I don't return.
And we did. We had to start thinking about and I decided it's every man for himself at this point. We're making this flight.
So I come back and we get in the car. Everything is going great. We drive by Talladega. It's going great. The trip is going great.
Except it's 40 minutes behind schedule.
No, we're perfectly on schedule and we're
40 minutes behind.
And we're going to get to the airport early. Then Jeff makes a critical mistake.
The GPS made a critical mistake. I told you which way to go, way the GPS said to go.
You were the navigator. I was the driver.
And again,
you were the navigator.
This 10-minute detour would have been no issue had we not been 40 minutes late from the beginning. Because then you go, if this is why we don't make it, this is bad. And I go, we'd have to miss it by over 40 minutes for this to be the reason we didn't make
10 minutes. And so we had to go down another highway, make a U-turn, come all the way back. But we're still going to be okay. Then we hit a bit of traffic.
This is a Sunday after Thanksgiving. We're trying to fly.
We hit a little traffic.
We're outside the airport an hour and 10 minutes before departure because Keith Struthers 40 minutes late because he couldn't not go running.
We hit a little traffic trying to get to the rental car place.
Shocking.
And then it did get a little tense. And then Jeff got all kinds of surly.
Well, I don't rush.
No.
I don't rush.
Because I'm like, come on, guys. Let's go.
I don't rush.
Let's go. And Jeff, I'm like, we're going to miss our flight. And Jeff would rather walk leisurely.
I don't rush. It's not a good way to live.
Well,
it's not a good way
to
live.
Would you rather have sat there in the airport for an extra hour and a half?
If I had to.
You would have on principle.
Would have been leisurely.
On principle.
I don't rush.
You literally, you on principle would rather miss the flight so you could say, I told you.
I don't rush.
That was.
I live my life on time to avoid rushing.
This is why you will never be in a serious relationship, because being right is
why
so important.
Why does it always come back to why Jeff will
Keith
never be in a serious relationship?
Because Keith Struthers hates
you're
the
in
fact.
A serious relationship, and you complain about it every single day.
Exactly. Enough from you.
It's mostly jealousy.
Because I'm right.
No.
Because I can do whatever I want with whomever I want,
no,
and Keith Struthers is locked into a bad contract.
Well,
you couldn't get on an airplane because you had to walk. You, instead of worrying about getting on that plane, all you worried about was, we're never going to be in time to get the right lunch.
I was very concerned. In fact, I took a tram before you because I didn't eat breakfast.
You didn't even wait for
us. I didn't eat breakfast. They have a Panda Express at the Atlanta airport.
I was getting a full body cavity search because we happen to have something in our carry-on bag that's called a detonator. I'm not.
It's true. It literally says it on it.
It's a button, and it says detonator on it. So I've got to get that checked through. I'm getting pinned to the wall. Like, right? And you're over there, and I'm like, where are you? And you're like, I'm on the tram.
I did. I went ahead. I told you I was going ahead. I said, I'm going to get lunch.
I thought you were just going to wait for me to put my shoes on.
Heck no. Every man for himself. We got to take a break. When we come back, more about our trip to the Iron Bowl and Mike Wallace's trip to the studio this morning, which took also, like our trip to the Atlanta airport, a bit longer than expected. Stay tuned. More of the classroom ahead. Fox 1220, 97.3 ESPN Radio. More of your weekly Smarter Look at Sports. I'm Jeff Brault, Dr. Keith Struthers, Anna Grizulis, and now rejoined by former lead intern Mike Wallace.
How far down the depth chart does this go? Because
this is assuming he's even still on the team.
Because he's
gonna have to come in front of the captain's council.
Who's on the captain's council?
You'll find out. You're about to find out who's on the captain's council.
The disciplinary process has to take its course.
Yeah.
We do believe in second chances here, but...
We do?
Do we? We believe in them.
Some
That's a theory.
Transgressions are so egregious. However, look, this is America, and you are entitled to a defense. So, Mike Wallace.
There is no defense.
That's not a good answer.
You can't handle
I called this. I'm going to represent myself in this case.
I plead the fifth. I need a lawyer.
All right.
Lawyer.
So you're going to get your dad in here, who's a lawyer.
Lawyer.
All right. And he's gonna fold because he knows he's got no client here. He knows his clients.
He's gonna suggest a plea deal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Your dad's smart.
Rightfully so.
Very successful lawyer. He is not weak. By the way, if you got problems, go see Mike's dad because he's a great lawyer.
Or grandpa.
Or grandfather. Yeah. Great lawyer.
Or my stepmom.
All right. That's fine. She's out of the region, though. A little further.
Mom in Rochester.
Saratoga.
All right. All right. Enough. All right. So we also actually happen to have a lawyer as a sponsor of the show. You can go see her as well.
Jonas Stiller.
Yeah. So that would be great, too.
Love her.
Yeah. So you spread it around. Mike's dad would not take the case, or he'd look for a plea deal because he knows I'm dead to rights on this one. Dead to rights. You got the video and an eyewitness. You got it all, right? You got signed and sealed and delivered. So what's the plea going to be? If there's no defense, what's the plea going to be?
I mean, what happened, Mike? How did this happen?
So here's the thing.
No.
You do recognize that this would be probably the worst week for this to happen.
Yeah.
The weeks.
Yeah. No, and I get that.
This is the day after Christmas. The day after Christmas, your dad just gave you a brand new car, and you come home the next night drunk. 2 a.m. This is where we are. This is where we are. Right?
So what happened?
What happened was I
can't even speak.
Let me start by saying
No. There's no assistance.
That was
here.
On purpose. I can talk.
Yes, you can do this.
But so I set multiple alarms for 8:30 in the morning, and when I looked at my phone, it signaled that they were going off. They just weren't making noise.
Right.
Sure. And that's because this button was flipped off, and your volume
probably.
Was all the way down.
Now, did you set multiple alarms on one device?
However, in a court of law, I do have a witness, a.k.a. My roommate that woke me up because Doug was calling him. So I would be able to raise reasonable doubt.
Well, how's
that like?
I have an eyewitness.
An eyewitness
that the alarm was not going off, but he saw that it was.
That's an excuse. It doesn't make you guilty.
Really, I think you need to talk to your dad a little more about the legal process. No, there's no reasonable doubt. There's no doubt. This is my perspective.
As
the director of the Center for Sports Com, and we're going to sue you in civil court too. But
that's fine. I deserve it.
Because reasonable, we don't even need that.
Burden of proof is much less.
That's really where the rubber's going to meet the road. But so I'm just going to, as the center director and the executive producer of the show, I'm not sure I even care about whether or not the alarm went off. Do you care?
It really irrelevant.
Yeah.
As you know about me, I'm a results-based person.
Right. We don't care.
I don't care how you get there.
An elephant in your room to make sure you stay up all night. Make sure you you can't sleep.
The first rule of live broadcasting: be there.
That's right.
Live means it starts whether you're there or not.
That's right.
And if you're not there, bad things happen.
And we had a particular situation today that we knew we had to deal with because if we didn't get on air exactly at the right time, we weren't going to be able to get on air. But there's a lot of particular, just getting behind the curtain. There's a lot of peculiarities about how we do our show.
Point is, it's a bad week for this. It's a bad week for optical reasons. It's a bad week for technical reasons.
Good week for this.
No, but this is the worst.
Now, some weeks it would have just been like, no.
What if I said I did it for content?
No.
You got a lot of good content out of this.
We got plenty of content. No.
As your producer,
no.
I did this for content.
Our former producer.
Okay. How many times have we been there? Has he been there on time, though? I mean, if this was a court, they would look at
more
than Keith
Strother,
this is a court.
I don't want to revive.
And what time does Doctor Strother walk in?
This isn't a percentage based business. Think about how many days I haven't killed somebody.
You can't do that. You can't do that. And by the way, you can never compare anyone. You can never compare anyone to me.
I appreciate.
And I'll tell you why. Here's a good story. There was someone who was an entry level employee at the New York Times. Walked in wearing Chuck Taylor. And his editor said, "What the heck are you doing?" And he goes, and he pointed at some senior columnist, someone that we knew. And he goes, "Well, that guy wears Chuck Taylors." He goes, "That guy spent 30 years earning the right to wear Chuck Taylors." So I walk in whenever I want. Is that not right, Jeff?
You do.
That's
you
right.
Walk in whenever you want.
And my job, I don't know how to work a computer. I can barely turn on my own phone. I'm no use there. That's not my job. That's why we delegate responsibility.
So Mike Wallace really has nothing to say in his own defense.
Yeah, that was a weak defense. But in some ways, it's better.
What do you want?
When we come back in the second hour of the classroom.
Sentencing?
We're going to talk about technology and football. We're going to talk about Tiger's return to the PGA Tour. But we're also going to talk about punishment. this action requires correction. And we're going to come up with how to do that.
Do you believe the punishment works? Or is it irrelevant here?
I don't necessarily know if punishment works, but I do believe you have to take corrective action.
Well, I mean,
it doesn't necessarily have to make someone miserable, but you have to take action to...
But are we doing this to make sure it doesn't happen again? Are we doing it because we enjoy justice?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen again. You two know Mike well enough to know
it's
not going to happen again.
No, but Jeff wants justice.
I live in a black and white world.
Jeff does. I can tell you what. I can tell you what. Now, again, I don't want to bring it back to his relationships. I have seen...
Here we go. I have seen
how he reacts in situations in a relationship where...
He's just jealous.
Where he could have a better situation, but he chooses to take a worse situation because it adheres to his kind of belief in people get what they deserve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very accurate.
In fact, you once told me a way in which you would like to break up with someone, which seemed to be one of the most ridiculous long-term strategies just so you could have the final word.
Well, revenge is a dish best served cold. Second hour of the classroom ahead. You're on Fox 12 2097.3 ESPN Radio. What's going to happen to Mike Wallace? We go to the second hour of the classroom live from Marist College in Poughkeepsie. I'm Jeff Brault alongside Dr. Keith Strudler, runs the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. Anna Grizoulis is hanging out, as is Mike Wallace, who has not been here for the whole program. If you're just joining us or unfamiliar with the situation, Mike Wallace appointed himself as lead intern over the summer.
He asked for the job.
It was a role in which we thought he would be very well suited. To give Mike Wallace credit, over the summer he did yeoman's work.
Yep.
He would show up every week.
Yep.
He would help us produce his program on his own time. It was much appreciated as a reward for all of his hard work and very good work. Very good work. Last week, he accompanied Keith Strudler and I as our personal valet to the Iron Bowl.
A position.
Valet in which Keith Strudler was driving the whole time.
Yeah, well, I don't like to
backseat
give up.
Backseat valet.
Yeah, backseat valet. You were more of a concierge type.
Yeah, but just a person to wheel the suitcases.
Yeah, so I believe,
so
yeah,
Mike Wallace had the privilege. And now, Mike, how many of your fellow Center for Sports Communication interns wanted to be you last week? How many of them wanted to be with us in Tuscaloosa, Alabama at the Iron
Bowl? On the field for the Alabama-Auburn game, standing
quick
on the
show
A.
Hands.
Oh, boy.
So those hands
are going to be wielding some power pretty soon.
I'm going to flash a picture just to kind of
build the anger and kind of get the contempt going a little bit, just because who knows what happens later, of Mike sitting at the 40-yard line in the press box, turning back, holding a big free sandwich, shoving that down his pie hole. I'm going to send that picture over to y'all, right? Because that's a
by free sandwich, do you mean pulled pork and
pulled,
mac and cheese all on the same bun? Yeah.
What a difference a week makes. Because Mike Wallace, on our first show back at our regular studio here in New York, couldn't get out of bed.
Wants the food.
He was 25 minutes late to this program.
Boy.
So important was his arrival that we had to change studios on the fly. We had to go to our backup studio. We have no live web stream of this broadcast.
No.
We have no audio elements to roll in to enhance this presentation because Mike Wallace couldn't make it out of bed this
morning. How do you think Nick Saban, like after Alabama wins a title, how do you think Nick Saban would treat his players if after they won a title they had practice a couple, you know, for spring practice a few weeks later, and the players slept in?
Imagine if this isn't
pay them less.
This isn't Jalen Hurts not showing up, because I was here. This isn't Jalen Hurts not showing up, but this is Calvin Ridley not showing up. This is a very key cog, a very important piece, not showing up.
I just don't know. I wonder. I mean, maybe we have to get some advice from a Saban figure, from Saban himself. How would you handle this situation?
In fact, there's only one person who I believe could accurately arbitrate this situation. It's the former commissioner of the West Coast Conference.
We will get
who
him.
Who is a favorite guest
that's
for
true.
Dispensing life and career advice to Marist interns.
Yeah, that's true. We could get him on. He has given a lot.
Should we delay sentencing of Mike Wallace until next week when we can get some expert opinion?
I think we're going to have to think about this right now. He's just going to sit in a cell.
Yeah.
Right? I say let's get Roger Goodell in here. He would give you something.
Well, but he's
outrageous.
You're gonna sit
if
in
we
a
could
cell,
get Roger Goodell
the way,
on the show, we
you know
would
you know
have
what
already.
His you know what Mike Wallace's punishment is? Mike, are you going to the city on Tuesday to talk with former NBA commissioner David Stern?
How, what do you think?
So here's what I'm thinking. A lot of that is a Q&A, right?
Yeah.
I believe Mike Wallace should have to get up and should have to ask the commissioner what his punishment
That's
should be.
That's a great idea. So, interesting. This is a true story. We will be taking 30-some students to be the studio audience for a one-on-one discussion between Brian Berger of the Sports PR Summit and the longtime former commissioner of the NBA, architect of the modern NBA, David Stern. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I agree. And now, David Stern, I have a little family tie, so I might even prep Stern on the way in and say, David, I want you to think long and hard about this because a student's going to get up and he's going to ask for.
It would be an honor to be disciplined by David Stern.
It would actually. Think about who you'd.
I'm okay with this.
You, Mark Cuban.
Yep.
That's a long list of
Michael Jordan.
That's a long list of people.
I think that's a perfect classroom punishment.
We're
publicly humiliating.
No, serious
related
question.
To sports.
Serious question.
David Stern.
How do you feel? How awkward would this be? Because I will be meeting David Stern. If I say, David, it's a pleasure to meet you. I have a serious question. You're a lawyer. You've been commissioner of one of the most important sports organizations in the country. I have a student who is late to a What should I do? Would that be an awkward first?
I think he'd be honored you asked.
I'd say, David, I trust your judgment in a way that I trust very few other people.
Arbitrator's got to arbitrate.
That's what he does. This is what he does. That's what's going to happen. David Stern. We're joking, but we're not. David Stern. By the end of that day on Tuesday, David Stern is going to weigh, contemplate, and legislate the punishment for Michael Wallace.
And if there's any way we can get an audio recording of this to play next week in the classroom, that would be ideal. That would be ideal. So somebody fire up an iPhone.
All right, we're going to have – this is going to happen. This is going to happen.
So a sentencing date for Mike Wallace, tardy lead intern, has been set.
Right. It's just
– Tuesday.
It's just going to – it's dependent on the – of course, as all are. Maybe David Stern then would be our full-time arbiter.
Join us next week, 10 a.m. to noon, here at Fox 12 97.3 ESPN Radio, for the final verdict of Judge David Stern.
And by that time, we're going to have some judge music.
And we should point out there is no appeal. This is a final verdict.
I think the only thing to play is the Law and Order.
Yeah. Dun, dun. In this version of America, you get one shot at it. That's how it's going to work. All right, let's get to our guest and our story.
Tiger Woods has returned to PGA competition this week, the Hero World Challenge, after 16 months off because of a bad back. Tiger Woods played the Pro-Am, played all right, a couple of eagles on the front nine. First round started off well. He was 3 under par. Then he ran into some trouble in the back nine, finished 1 over for the round. Then yesterday, vintage Tiger, 7 under, no bogeys. Bogey-free round for Tiger Woods. People saying Tiger's back. Keystroke, that's good for golf. It's good for sports.
I mean, you know, in some ways, and I'll be interested in our guest's opinion on this, you know, like sometimes you have the boyfriend-girlfriend that you know it's kind of, it's time to break up.
When it's good, but when it's
but
bad,
then,
it's
and,
bad.
And you finally get over it, and then they come back, and you say I shouldn't let them back in. We were done, but maybe you have one drink too many, or maybe you just you remember the good times, and next thing you know you're dating again. Like this happened to everyone when the relationship was over. And
of course.
Next thing you know you're dating again. I'm wondering, and you had already moved on. You'd already moved on.
So you thought,
and now you're back in the same mess you were before, and it's great. But it's not going to last. I wonder if golf doesn't need to figure out how to move on post-Tiger. Because the Tiger that we're watching right now is not the Tiger that we remember from before. And we like that Tiger. We like the Tiger that was dominant, that was excellent. I remember, beyond that, Tiger is never going to be America's hero like Tiger was either. I mean, no matter how good he plays, he's never going to really be Tiger. I think Tiger's fall was much more precipitous. Kobe had a similar fall early, and I think Kobe came back, and we didn't have the same kind of situation. But Kobe was never quite the same Kobe that he was before that in terms of his popularity. And maybe he did actually climb back by the end. But I think there's a risk for golf to be overly dependent on Tiger's return. In some ways, I understand the ratings are going to go up right now. I don't know if this is a good long-term win.
What does Tiger's return to the PGA Tour mean for golf, mean for sport? Joining us in the classroom to talk more about that is one of our favorite guests, Robert Bolin, the executive in residence and director of the Masters of Sports Administration program at Ohio University, formerly New York University. He's been on the classroom many times. Robert Bolin, good morning. Thank you for joining us once again.
It's a pleasure to join you. I should warn you that I'm in a taxi cab in New York City right now, so God knows what you'll hear in the background.
That's excellent. We actually prefer all of our guests to call in from unorthodox places.
Like a cash grab.
You're gonna get a full cinema verite kind of presentation here. And on top of that, you queued me up with a sports lawyer arbitrator question. So that's how I got the Tiger expert for today's show.
That's true.
This is where we were going to start with, because
you want to explain the situation.
Rob, are you listening to the situation at hand with our lead intern, Mike Wallace?
Can't help but smile listening to your show.
Do you feel as though you have a good grasp of the facts in the case?
Yeah, but the problem is you guys are looking for Goodell to arbitrate that case. You want no appeal.
That's what I'm saying.
Stern always had somebody to appeal to, so he got reversed a fair amount. Even when Latrell Sprewell choked PJ Carlissimo, that got reduced.
Right, I understand.
Really, what we're just looking for
is tough love.
It's somebody to slam your guy, right?
No. Be fair. So I mean, but just Rob, just know this that, I mean, we took him to the University of Alabama
to the Iron Bowl.
We took him to the Iron Bowl.
Did you take him to Dreamland too?
Well, I thought that was the Iron Bowl.
This is his Dreamland.
Dreamland barbecue. Talking barbecue.
We
did feed him.
We did feed him.
Not go to cookout.
Yeah,
we unfortunately had room service because we got home too late. And everyone,
bit of traffic.
Saban would have nothing to do with that afterwards. You're right.
So we just, look, we gave him the experience of his life. We gave him something he's going to tell his grandkids about. And in return, he left us high and dry the next morning. And I can take it myself. I'm left high and dry pretty much every day of my life. And this is it. It's called marriage, right? But he left his teammates, his classmates, right? He left them high and dry. That's who my heart's breaking. That's where it's breaking. So Rob, give me a sentence. I know that we're putting you on anything you want to suggest.
100 up downs in the mud.
A physical punishment.
I hadn't gone that direction.
Always better.
Yeah.
I love that. I'll do that right now.
We're taking that one off the table.
And you can go with a longer suspension or something. Mm. So he can have the alternative. He gets to make the pick.
Oh, we make him pick his poison?
Oh.
Yeah.
I do like that one.
Sure. Like in Good Will Hunting.
Is it a multiple
choice? Do you want the belt or the wrench?
That's right.
I figured I'd take the wrench.
Is this open ended or like a multiple choice kind of thing?
Yeah, it's an alternative sentence, as we call it in the law.
Yep. You're going to get to choose. I like the physical part. I, of course, am much more interested in the mental.
As am I. Cerebral warfare is what we do here in the classroom.
That one doesn't excite me as well.
Enough.
All right, Rob, show just to kind of lead us in. Tiger coming back as an aggregate, is this good for golf?
It's great for golf in this way. Golf has long been a tour of two cities or a tale of two tours, whichever you prefer, in the alliterative version of Dickens. It's been events Tiger plays and events Tiger doesn't play, and that's been a huge issue. And in the 7 years that Tiger has not been himself on the tour, either battling injury or in his own self-imposed hiatus from the tour has suffered as a result. Anytime he's on tour, and anytime there's a chance for him to regain some version of his old form, that's good for golf. And I'm old enough to remember Jack Nicklaus in the latter days of his competitive career, where every time he was on the leaderboard, it was a story and it was good for the sport. Although I think you're right, there is an opportunity or a chance that golf, with the great young stars they have, can overestimate Tiger's impact. But here's the give me that opportunity. You gain your success by having those moments, that duel in the sun kind of moment that Nicklaus and Watson had in Scotland. Those are the kind of things you want to have. Imagine a young player, Jordan Spieth, up against the Tiger Woods and what that would do for viewership, sponsorship, chance to measure yourself. And Americans love a comeback story.
The metrics bear out that golf is more popular when Tiger is playing. Ratings are better. Everything's better when Tiger's playing, but a lot of those numbers are when Tiger was playing, as you allude to, at his best, which he has not since really 2008. Golf, if you're a golf fan right now, probably as good as it's ever been. Jason Day, Rory McIlroy, Henrik Stenson, Dustin Johnson. I mean, there are probably more elite players now than there were when Tiger was in his prime, when Arnie, Jack, and Gary were in their prime. Does Tiger Woods need to return to the dominant Tiger Woods level of the late 90s to make
a huge
impact?
I think that's unrealistic to expect he'll do that. What I think he needs to come back for is probably twofold. The man was a champion, and champions have some degree of control that they want to show that they still have that act in them. And he's been beset by health problems, and you know, he did lose his psychological edge, too, when you think about it.
Totally.
So my sense is that all of that looks like it may be all going in the right direction for him. So my sense is that he's probably wants to show that he can be back and compete. He'll never compete at the level he did. I think Nicholas's record of 19 majors is beyond his reach now, given his age. But again, I think he wants to hit the board one more time for a sustained period in his career, and I think that's good for everybody. How successful it'll be, hard to say. What's at stake here for him, and this is very important, is his ability to translate into being a lifetime endorser. No one will ever question Woods' golfing excellence, or even at his peak, his ability as a brand ambassador. But that was all compromised 6 or 7 years ago, and that's what he needs to recover. He's never really shown a lot of personality. He's never really been accessible as a figure, and I think that's an important thing for him to show this time out.
Well, you know, you went the direction I was hoping to go, is what is it going to take for companies to get back on board with Tiger? He lost a lot of sponsorships, really even before, obviously, the slide of his performance, but with the personal turmoil in his life, a lot of companies jumped ship, and then they just kept on jumping and kept on jumping.
He wasn't able to renew a lot of the deals that he had going on.
But he never lost the one that really matters, and that's Nike. The other ones are small potatoes compared to Nike.
That's true.
Not such small potatoes, but not as big, yeah.
So what does it take for companies to kind of get back and launch? I mean, even Nike changed their commercial campaigns. I mean, they shifted away from Tiger, and even when it was Tiger and other guys.
They ran an apology ad.
Yeah. So how can Tiger become America's sweetheart again? Is that something that's possible?
I don't know if he has to be America's sweetheart. I don't know if he can recapture that. But I certainly believe that he can show some piece of his personality. He can become relatable. And remember, the people he's trying to be relatable to is sort of a twofold. He wants to be relatable to corporate CEOs who will want him to be a speaker, who will want to do corporate hospitality events with him, and winning at his reputation will help him there. And I don't think any of the issues that hurt him with endorsers and put him on the bench a little bit with them will hurt him terribly if he can show that he has a story and he's shown a comeback. I do think it's important for him to sort of transition what he was. And what he was before was entirely about his success. Now I think he has to show, now he's shown that he's human. Now he has to show humanity. And I do think he can transition into being a lifetime endorser. He's still one of the best known people on the planet. He is probably the highest profile golfer who's not, you know, under the age of about 70 right now. And that's a pretty powerful package that he has, in addition to being a multiracial figure, which is almost one of the more exciting things you think about in a multicultural world.
Yeah, well, that's the real story in some cases with Tiger. Tiger came along and was going to diversify and change the nature of golf itself. He was there were other African-American golfers, but certainly not at the level of Tiger. He was going to bring an entirely new audience, just like it was suggested the Williams sisters would in tennis.
Well, and Tiger did for a period of time.
He brought in a whole new audience. Will that continue with Tiger coming back? Has golf's demographics changed since he left? And this is maybe a question that's more on the golfing side. I don't feel like golf has been able to in any way maintain that diversification. I don't see the pipeline of a diverse golf field coming up and through the ranks. And you do say that a little bit more in tennis. Not a lot, but a little bit more.
No, I mean, they're there in golf. Where? Players are not going to know Harold Varner III, Tony Finau. I mean, there's more diversity
in golf.
But
not at the top. Not in the...
And there's also more diversity outside of African Americans. I mean, you look at the LPGA Tour, and
LPGA,
South Korea is a factory for women's
LPGA
golfers.
Is a very, but LPGA
Hideki
is a,
Matsuyama is one of the best golfers on the planet. He's from Japan.
With an entirely different world in LPGA, which actually is unable to sell in the U.S. because there are no American golfers that are winning. And that's an entirely different story. But do you think that the...
Just
the,
in the middle of the block.
Yeah, do you think Rob Roland, of course, driving New York City, which is very exciting to us. We like.
Yep,
it.
You got to get some cinema verite here because I'm going to get out of this taxi cab in a second. But I'll keep this conversation
keep
going.
Going.
As long as you need me to.
Are you staying somewhere nice while you're here?
I'm in my apartment. I'm.
Oh boy, we got bourgeois here.
Yep.
It's about 11:20 or so here on the East Coast. Think about maybe brunch, maybe Balthazar.
I'm on the Upper West Side.
Not close to there. No.
What are you here for? Are you for business or pleasure?
I'm in this week for the College Football Awards, the Heisman, the National Football Foundation, and the Intercollegiate Athletic Forum.
That's interesting. I didn't get my invitation.
I'm working on mine sometime.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We'll invite you to the Ohio gathering we're having on Wednesday.
Oh, I'd like to go to that. Now, you know, that's true, though.
That is exactly, by the way, how we got invited to the Iron Bowl. Like, you should come. We'd be glad to have you.
Yeah, don't throw out these invitations.
And T. Strother took it seriously. And long story short, they had to start pulling strings. Like, listen, I wrote a check that I really can't cash. I'm going to need you to help me out. I'm just trying to be polite.
And next thing you know, we show up at someone's house and we're at the Iron Bowl. No, so are you here with the big Ohio crew? Are you getting to New York band?
Me and one other faculty, and our AD will be here eventually, but... We're all good. We've got a big group of alumni. I mean, our alumni group is pretty powerful in sports. John Swofford, the ACC commissioner, the Kentucky athletic director, and I could go on and I'll slide a few along the list. But we're celebrating our 50th anniversary as the oldest sports management program in the country, and we have the roots and the background, particularly in the college space, that make us special.
No, it is. We've now in the last couple of weeks between being at the Alabama sports media program and having Ohio U on, we've got the best of the best. You know, I can't brag like that, but of course, you know, we're special in that we're going to have David Stern legislate the punishment for one of our interns. And I think that's the only school in the country that can claim
that's
that.
Pretty special,
yeah,
dude. Yeah, no, and you've got the great history in the broadcast program.
That's right.
So,
we are absolutely
one of the best up and coming young broadcasters in the country. Came through Marist.
There you go.
He's talking about himself. He's talking about himself,
much.
Rob.
Nothing wrong with self-promotion.
We've got Rob Boland on the line for Ohio University talking about Tiger Woods returning to the PGA Tour. Before we got sidetracked by you giving directions to your cab driver in New York City.
We're all good.
Which is, by the way, what we love in this program. We love that. We want all of our guests to be doing something else
How
at the same time they're talking to us.
If it was cash cab.
That'd be amazing. If we were like the phone-a-friend,
yes.
That'd be amazing. I believe the question Keith Schroeder posed was, has the gains that golf made when Tiger was at his peak, have those lasted through the last, you know, 5-6 or so years of Tiger's decline and absence?
Golf had a really big deflation in 2008 in terms of sponsorship dollars and ratings, and it kind of coincided with Tiger going away, but also golf is a tough sport to activate sponsorship in. You don't get video time. You don't get high metrics for it. It really is. You have to get people who are interested and want to take advantage of it from corporate hospitality or be around the event. So golf got hit pretty hard in the big recession, and it hasn't fully recovered. And Tiger coming back helps boost that. Has the sport developed in terms of minorities and cross culturally? The answer to that question is kinda. And I think we often grab simplistically at the idea that, well, Tiger's multiracial, so clearly multiracial people will follow him into the sport, or they'll start playing golf in urban areas or places that haven't had golf courses, and that's been harder to prove, and that may be an overstatement of what it is, but certainly golf has opened up, and as you guys pointed out just a few minutes ago, numbers of players of different nationalities, different ethnicities are playing, and the game is much more accessible from the most expensive private club on down to the worst public course. People are playing as a result, and that I think has helped. And I think Tiger did that. Has Tiger moved equipment and become recognizable and paid off for his sponsors? Sure, There's really little, very little doubt about that. Nike dropped Lance Armstrong. Nike's dropped other people. They stayed very clearly with Tiger Woods, in part because his marketability was always continuous through all this. And I think it will likely continue. But again, the reason we'll invite Tiger Woods into our living room as a 50-year-old is different than why we invited him into our living room as a 30-year-old or a 25-year-old when he was at his peak. We'll invite him in because he has a great story, because he reminds us of something, and that's the key that he has to go show now.
It is interesting, the evolution of athletes. I think Jimmy Connors went through a similar thing when he was kind of the boisterous, kind of obnoxious young guy, and then by the end of his career, when he was, you know, making the U.S. Open semifinals at 39 in 1986, he was the guy of the older folks.
That's Tiger now. Yeah, I mean, we saw this at the Ryder Cup where he took on the role as an assistant captain. I mean, he is now becoming like the wise old sage.
The dads, you just think of the dads are going to be sitting and cheering for him because he's the old guy giving it one more shot. Rob, I know this last question is going to be hard for you to answer because it's dependent on a lot of factors, namely his health. But how long do you think Tiger sticks around in the game, assuming he plays okay?
Well, that's been an interesting question. I mean, that's the health is going to be the key variable. He's had knee injuries. They could come around. He's had back injuries, and those are the ones that are really unpredictable. And based on my years as an agent, so I mean, if his health holds and he keeps everything going in the right direction, my guess is he could probably be a competitive golfer late into his 40s, and maybe even a little longer than that. And again, he'd certainly be one of the best 50-year-olds on a senior tour in a big hurry. But my sense is, again, I think it's a question that's an open question, and I think this is going to be the one test where he took the full range of time off, took the full opportunity to get healthy and well, and he does look different coming back.
Rob Bolin from Ohio University, one of our favorite guests in the classroom this morning. As always, we really appreciate the time. Thanks so much for coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
Well, my absolute pleasure. Good luck. Good luck in front of Commissioner Stern.
Thank you. It's going to be tense.
Thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike Wallace, important question.
I was going to ask Rob Bolin if he saw me on PBS last night.
I'm sure he did.
Oh, I'm sure he
Sounds
did.
Like he had important things to
no,
do last night.
No, he was
also strikes me as a PBS guy.
What's that?
Rob Bolin strikes me as a man who doesn't watch PBS.
What does that
like
mean?
Most people. Important question
what
for
does
the
that mean?
Important question for the youngsters
oh,
in the
young,
room. For the youngsters
anything
in the room.
Other than
has anybody in this room right now ever watched PBS in the last 10 years?
Well, they were
deafening
probably,
silence.
They were probably still watching
deafening,
Sesame Street.
Deafening
the
silence.
End of that run.
Yes, because Dragon Tales is sometimes on in the morning. I have watched Dragon Tales.
That's not, Anna
likes Dragon Tales.
Not the answer we were looking for, of course.
So
but
Keith Strudler
is your
guest dragon, Keith Strudler.
Now, I'll ask another question, though, that illuminates a little bit more. When's the last time any of you watched the National Nightly News?
Oh, I would imagine probably November 7th.
Yeah.
A lot of nodding
this
happening
week,
here.
This week, have you turned on CBS, NBC, Nightly News?
Only PBS.
Not for the purpose of watching it, but remember
what's the purpose then?
Well, it was on, and then I watched 5 minutes of it, and then I switched.
You realize? I have a remote here.
No. But realize that like I follow all of these on Twitter. I follow PBS on Twitter.
That's right.
You know, I find those that more useful because that's
you don't
quickly...
know what the kids do.
Yes, I do. No, I'm down. I'm hip.
He's
I'm
hip.
With it.
He's a cool mom.
He's not a mean girls.
That's
cool.
He has Mean Girls. Yeah, yeah.
He's
it's a great show.
He's not a cool mom. Jeff would be the worst.
Anna, describe your ideal date.
Oh, my God. April 27th.
You only need a light jacket.
Stop. That's
Freezy,
we're not
you
going
only
down
need
this,
a light jacket.
We're not going down this road. But you would be the worst mom.
Do you know the movie?
No.
Of course he doesn't. He thinks the best movie ever made is Blades of Glory.
That's
a great movie.
That is a great movie. What did I watch? I was watching
still not the best Will Ferrell movie,
Oh,
though.
You know what I watched? I watched last night for a couple of hours. Because I watched the end, and you know, sometimes you do. You watch like the end, then you catch the beginning again. Great movie, 22 Jump Street.
Yeah, it was almost
as good as 21 Jump Street.
Yeah,
it's pretty
almost
dark.
As good.
Oh,
as 21.
I don't. It might be.
But to be fair, a great scene is when they're at brunch.
Yeah,
when they're at brunch, that's a great scene at 22 Jump Street.
No, I actually like just the intro scene where they go to break up. You know, and they use the fake voice. They get into character. I mean, everything about that movie I like. I just there's almost nothing. The slam poetry. Everything about it is funny.
Slam poetry.
Everything
is great.
About that movie. Yes. The
Ice Cube at brunch is the best part
Ice
of that
Cube
movie.
At brunch. But also even the scene where they let Ice Cube know that something bad happened and and Channing Tatum has a as kind of dances around the police station.
Oh, when they're in the office. Yes, 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 office. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, that is also a great scene. So if you haven't seen 21, 22 Jump Street, Mean Girls, or Blades of Glory, make sure you check those out. Important question, though, for Mike Wallace.
And Miss Congeniality, because we quoted that, too. Sure. Sorry.
Would you prefer, Mike Wallace? Would you prefer?
Neither.
No, no, no. There is no
a
neither.
Physical punishment or a cerebral punishment?
No, he's going to take physical.
Both.
Oh, he wants all the pain.
Thank good.
Make him swim. Make him swim.
No.
Make him swim.
I like, you know what I like this? It's a military complex. Thank you, sir. May I have another. That's what I like.
I like that Mike Wallace is willing to take his med. I like this. Yeah. This bodes well for us accepting him again in the future.
I deserve it.
Yeah, but let's say this.
I accept it.
We are not going to go lighter because of that.
That's fine.
Not at all. You can't.
That's fine.
You can't.
No.
I say a timed 500 swim.
Here's the thing.
We'd, full close.
We'd love.
I don't know what any of this.
We'd love to let you off because you know that's what we want to do. But it's not good for you. We're not doing our job.
And let's be honest, we're not so much punishing Mike for Mike. We're punishing him so the others know that Mike's behavior is unacceptable.
That was not what I was expecting. But so we wouldn't. I wouldn't be doing my job as an educator if I didn't. If I didn't lay down the law, I can't.
Of course. Life's about choices, but choices have consequences.
In the meantime, I think my best plan of action is just to own it, and I'm going to start just showing all the other interns like pictures and videos from the Iron Bowl, make them hate me more.
Oh boy. He's going to become on.
My best course of action is to be cocky.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
And so you're going to – now is he going to try to self-impose like the Ohio State, like we're going to penalize ourselves? Because that's not going to do anything.
It's like a WWE
You can start doing push-ups all you want. It's not going to help. So
it's going to be fun to track in the classroom. Stay tuned next week. Again, David Stern will render his ruling on what Mike Wallace's punishment should be, and we'll have that for you next week, 10 a.m. to noon here
and
your
just,
weekly Smart
I, Sports. I think whatever we don't get out of David Stern, just know that I think in February, on February 6th, just a news alert, James Brown will be speaking on campus. If we feel that we haven't gotten there, that will be our first question for James Brown. Course.
Maybe we'll draw up a contract in our segment.
Can that be a thing?
We'll
every guest that we
every
get
guest,
from now
yeah,
on,
every
we
every
just
guest,
ask them.
Until we feel sufficient contrition.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, we're open for business. So we're going to have to find – until we feel like you've changed. I guess that's probably right.
Of course, yes.
Well, you want justice. You want
let's
justice.
Be honest. No, I want corrective behavior more than I want anything else. But again, actions have consequences. That's important. If you out there have an idea, tweet at us at ESPN for a classroom, and we will take that into consideration as well.
Have we gotten whoever's running the
Twitter?
Have we gotten my commentary from PBS up on the ESPNs?
No.
The person,
we've got like eight people in this room.
Yeah, the person
several
running,
of whom I don't know.
The person running the Twitter has left.
Well, he left because
we made like a switch of people in the room in the middle of the show.
Because all of those people are
they were here
to be in the studio.
They were here
and we're not
for
in the studio
to run the live stream, which our lead intern destroyed
by his tardiness. Yes. We got to take a break. When we come back in the classroom and talk about the intersection of sports and technology, this time using chips in balls, football, soccer,
not
balls,
not potato chips.
To draw that would be interesting as well. To try to help out officials. Technology and sports, one of our favorite topics in the classroom. We'll get into that next. Fox 1220, 97.3, ESPN Radio.
We should just make a segment of whichever intern fucks up the most that week.
I was like, I got scared there for a second. Hi, new people.
Hey there.
Oh,
these are friends of Avery Decker.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi.
Yep.
And you're friends of Avery, but you go to school here?
No, I'm actually a senior in high school.
Oh, okay.
Nice. All right.
You're now the second friend of Avery Decker I've met. Recently, where did I meet another one? Someone
I don't know.
I was at a note was when I was speaking at SUNY Albany.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
I just were talking about Will Ferrell, and then I was like, I don't know
that's
if I ever
Jeff
showed
Brault.
Jeff my
yeah,
Halloween.
I'm Jeff.
Not
he's
no title.
The co-host, no title.
No title. I'm just the reason the program sounds good is on
the
was created.
Chair.
Stop.
All of those things.
He's here.
Creator of the program.
Not true.
Idea man.
Not true.
Yeah.
Not true. No.
Pretty much any good segment we've ever done has come right up here.
And don't worry, it's just
as Rob Boland
just
says,
6 hours, 48 minutes left.
Pathological liar.
To what? To transfer the file? Oh,
yep.
To upload the file. To
oh
the
no,
file.
No, now 8 minutes.
But I'm
8 hours, 5 minutes.
But you got it off the thing.
Yeah, it's okay. On my computer,
so
now.
I can take this back.
How long do we think this meeting afterwards is going to be?
As long as it takes.
You got a meeting afterwards?
We got to just it's not that long, but I just
What do we have to do?
We got to go over. I need to make sure that everyone knows that we have confirmation from everyone on this trip. We cannot. Can't have people peeling off, and then we have to have a plan for because we are filling every seat there.
Fair warning, I'm probably going to oversleep.
Oh God, what would be the consequence if you overslept?
Stern,
I show up for
there might be a cop at his house at that point.
No, I would be there, and it'd be worse.
I got to run right after this. Anyway, so that's perfect.
I would be worse than a cop.
I don't want to know what Anna punishment is.
You have to sit and watch Miss Congeniality with her and have her quote every...
You wouldn't mind that.
And say the entire movie. Well, there's nothing worse than someone just talking
to
the movie.
I can make him laugh if that was the case.
Is there anything worse than someone just reading the movie as you go?
What?
Is there anything worse than someone literally doing every line of the movie?
I say you make him swim. Swimming is just as hard physically as it is mentally.
That's can we kill him? That's not just physical.
20 laps? You think you could do 20 laps in the pool, back and forth?
I think you could die.
The worst I don't want him to be physically assaulted. I don't want him to be physically.
Wake up at 5 a.m.
I want him to be.
I don't even think the physical does nothing for me.
No, I want
just
him
make
to be.
Just make him.
That's what we give to you.
Make him wake up at
5
a.m.
No,
and spend his morning.
Not, you don't get anything out of that. You're making someone tired.
Make him wake up at
5. No. No.
That would be funny.
No.
Make him live a day in the life of Keith Strudler.
Oh, my God.
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, you should make you have to say nice things about Strudler for a whole week.
Like a hype man? Yes, yeah. Like a hype man.
I really like your ripped jeans today.
It's on the table.
Back in the classroom, I'm Jeff.
You
he's
just
Keith.
Slapped that board. Like,
darn right I did. I turned the mics on with authority.
Ready.
Anna Grizulis, Mike Wallace, hanging out in the classroom, along with some new friends we've never met before. Apparently, they know Avery Decker, so they decided to pop in this morning.
Yep. I texted Avery Decker just the other day. He texted me.
Avery Decker was a former Mike Wallace, one who, as far as we know, showed up on time every week.
Yeah. So you're friends with Avery, and that's great. And now you're here.
Classroom originates live from the Marist College Center for Sports Communication.
Normally, two flights up from where we are right now. Normally, we're in a television studio, and you can watch us on a live stream. Right now, there's a lot of people, a lot of very disappointed-looking people. Adam Nuzzo looks very disheartened. Michael Hines. I mean, no one looks happy to be here right now, and I understand why. You know, you thought you had tickets for the Jay-Z concert, and now you're sitting at the Bananas Comedy Club, right? I mean, that's the level of letdown we've got,
I was at the concert that Kanye walked out of. I feel that disappointment.
Oh, that you're not the second person I know who was there.
Really?
How
I was there.
Are you sure it's not a Will Chamberlain thing where everyone said?
To be fair, there were 150,000 people there, so it's one of those outdoor situations.
It was at Citi Field.
Yeah.
It was literally in the Citi Field parking lot.
In the parking lot.
Was it free?
No.
No.
How did they sell 150,000 tickets?
It was a concert that was part of a music
festival.
Festival.
Yeah, it was a festival.
So it was a two-day thing. It cost me $300.
But he wasn't the only show in town.
No,
he was the headliner.
He was the last show
in
town.
Who was before the headliner?
Chance the Rapper.
Chance the Rapper, which is really the best concert I've ever been to in my life.
I'm not that familiar with
You don't know Chance the Rapper, of course.
Give me who's... No, because I watch PBS.
Oh, something that should be brought up from the Iron Bowl before we get into intersection of sports and technology. So we're driving back from the game.
No.
The game has ended. We're driving back, and we're trying to pick the music. And Keith Strudler says, and Mike Wallace, back me up on this. What was the name of that awful band?
The name
Pain.
Is
Pain.
Pain.
Pain. It's Pain.
Pain.
I'll never
P-A-I-N.
Forget it.
A ska punk
never
band from Tuscaloosa. I wanted to give you some local flavor.
Keith Strudler tells us, you got to hear Pain. Mike Wallace and I
You're
have never
ready
heard
for
of Pain.
The best song of all
can we
time.
Then he
up?
Tells us,
can
no,
you get that
no,
out?
We
yes,
can't.
Can.
We don't. Nothing's plugged in.
He can. He's going to get.
He tells us. No, we're not playing this. We're not hurting our audience. We're not hurting our audience.
No, we're gonna. Well, they don't. It's not fair.
No, I don't want to play.
Keith Strudler tells us.
Yeah.
That he's about to play for us one of the greatest songs ever recorded. He's putting it in league with
Michael Jackson's
The Beatles, with Michael Jackson.
You should have known.
He actually cited Thriller.
You should have known.
It's like this song and Michael Jackson's Thriller.
He tells us that this song is one of the best ever recorded.
If you're not going to play it, it's pointless.
It might have been, Mike Wallace, back me up on this,
ridiculous.
One of the worst songs I ever heard.
No. You're ridiculous.
It was awful.
I played you a
sound like they recorded it in this studio.
I played you a song.
Sounded like they recorded it by mistake.
I played you a song from a band that originated from Tuscaloosa. So it had some local flavor. It was a 90s era ska punk band. Unbelievably talented. Fun. They were fun.
Awful.
Look it up. The band's called Pain. I don't think you can buy it anywhere.
It
sounded
like
guys are better
what's
than real big
Around
fish.
Around Peg Square Hole is a good
it
song.
It sounded like they were
square
holding
pegs.
Their instrument upside down.
A lot of horns. Look up square pegs and listen to it. Listen to it on your
very similar to the Mighty Mighty Bosstones or Real Big Fish, as Keith Strudler says, way better.
No, don't. Yeah, you're gonna have to put a headphone.
Fully incorrect.
The classics are classics for a reason.
That's the stupidest thing in the world.
That's a very true statement, Mike Wallace.
That's something that Jeff Ross said.
Statement.
That's why you don't buy blueberry donuts.
No.
Yes.
You're about to get no donuts.
I'll tell you what. This Mike is back in my good graces.
Well, I'll tell you what. David Stern's about to get an earful before he renders that decision.
You think David Stern likes blueberry donuts?
David Stern's going to like me, and I'm going to say, David, you're going to have to.
I think he's going to like me.
No, he's never going to meet you. You're going to – David Stern is going to – I'm going to say, David.
I know who I am.
David, you ruled that league with an iron fist. You ruled that with an iron fist.
No.
Is that Square Pegs?
Yeah. Anna's listening, and Anna, your review of this song, please. Your review of that song. Your review of the song.
It's great.
It's awful.
Well, you just haven't gotten the music yet, have you? Have you even gotten the music yet with the whole?
Wait, what is?
Oh no, I'm at the music
the
part.
What's the song with
the music
story
part.
About Bob?
Oh god, that was even worse.
I think the point is that indie pop rock bands should not come out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
No, you guys couldn't.
There are
play.
Certain things guys, that should be exported from Tuscaloosa.
No. You guys have
Ska
no.
Is not
you
one
you
of
have
them.
Zero. There's literally zero musical talent in this room. None other than one
yeah.
Of
I have
years.
You were in
I
a band. Years.
I am offended.
You did wear dresses on stage.
I play guitar. I play saxophone.
Here's how you
he's
know.
Saying.
Here's how you
got
know any piece of art, music, film,
oh, stop.
Picture, portrait, painting, whatever.
Give us your
Here's
art
how you know a piece of art is awful.
What?
Because when a person who likes it tells you that you don't understand it, that's how you know yeah. It is awful. Awful.
You are.
If somebody goes, this is the greatest song ever recorded, and yeah. Somebody goes, this is garbage, and you go, well, you just don't get it because you can't play the saxophone.
You don't get it.
That's how you know it is crap.
Like,
for you
to say that is so disingenuous. You are the person who tells people that they don't understand how good this food is because it,
I don't.
Know, oh, yeah. Oh,
I would
it.
Never,
watch
ever,
it.
Ever,
watch
ever
you have,
think somebody would eat something and go, I don't care for this. Well, have, that's under, I understand that because tastes differ.
You have absolutely criticized people because they don't understand why a watch is valuable.
Yep.
Because there are times you actually
that's
don't
fair, yeah.
actually understand
you're right.
The watch
that.
Snobbery, the watch snobbery that has emanated from your mouth.
And food.
Not food.
Oh, but watch.
Definitely
watch
food.
In particular.
Not food.
The watch thing, you have told me it doesn't matter if a watch can tell time or not.
Well, the best watches actually tell time significantly less accurate. The best time-telling watch is going to be from your $15 Timex. That's going to give you the most accurate time reading.
Seems
right. But
like
we wouldn't understand that why a watch is worth $150,000, $200,000, $300,000.
That's simply because you're just not educated about watches.
Not.
You just don't get it.
Oh, yeah, I just don't get
yeah.
it.
No, you could get it.
Don't
you
understand.
Could get it. You're capable of getting it. It's not there. You don't need a special talent to get it. You don't have to take lessons. It's not like, you know, you don't play the saxophone, so you don't understand music. You could understand it. You just don't. You're telling me that I couldn't possibly understand music.
You choose not to. I can tell you that. And I don't know. Maybe you don't have that gene. Like, yes, maybe you don't have the well, musical
gene. You know
gene.
What? I'm going to use this, too. You know why I was late? You just wouldn't get it. You just don't get it.
I don't say yeah. I don't get being lazy. No, I do.
No.
No, I do.
He does
no,
get
you
that.
Just don't get it.
I think eight alarms is the opposite of lazy.
They're all on the same device. That's not eight alarms.
Why do
stop
you have multiple
but
alarm
screaming.
Devices?
That's not
screaming.
Eight. But
stop screaming in the mic.
Okay, but no. Like, this is a real important. There's when you say eight alarms, Jeff, back me up on this. That's an inference that it's eight different. That's
to be fair, eight alarms on one device is one alarm.
That's right. That's one alarm.
Just one, like, 30-minute long alarm. Yes.
That means if the device goes, the eight alarms is if this yeah. clock breaks.
You go from eight to zero. There's the middle numbers are irrelevant.
Yes.
Which did happen. I went exactly from eight to zero.
Yes. The eight different alarms has to be eight different devices. That's the only way that sense makes work. Can we get
now,
to our
Now, quickly.
Score?
Yes, quickly.
Yes.
Marist College Center for Sports Communication is involved in the sports and technology sphere, and you guys are working on a partnership with IBM, right, about doing some tracking
yeah.
of the actual physical balls, football, soccer balls in sports.
I'm sorry, I was reading an email.
That's fine.
It was about Tuesday when we go meet David Stern, who's going to, you know, give some tough love to Mike Wallace. So wouldn't it be great if David Stern heard this broadcast? And he's like, I'm looking forward to, because you know he'd be looking forward to this.
David Stern on Twitter.
Oh, he'd love that. He would be looking forward to this. So, yes, we've been involved in starting to do some research on body-worn sensors and analytics that you can get off that. And it's a big thing already in training, particularly for the performance-related sports, cycling, swimming, track, those kind of sports. Those athletes have been using that for quite a while. And coaches use it, things like heart rate.
It's cadence and cycling, that kind of stuff.
Acceleration.
Yeah, all those kind of things are very common in those sports. You see it used increasingly by some of the power sports, football. A lot of coaches have been using it, soccer. And not just for kind of the body analytics, but also for things like spacing, to know where athletes are, if they can close a gap. So you're going to see that kind of stuff. They can really visualize plays. But one of the things, and we were talking with someone from IBM, suggested that don't forget about the importance of putting sensors on balls. And there's a long line of research, and it goes back to before 2010, of academics and companies who have realized that you are easily able to track the exact location of any ball in a sport by putting a sensor on it. And when you put a sensor on it, you can tell whether a ball crosses a goal line in soccer. And that's, by the way, the easiest. There is absolutely no reason that any of us should worry about whether or not a ball crosses a line. In tennis, they did something similar. They don't put a chip on it, but they use sonar technology to recreate that, which is also something that could happen. You can't do that with football because you can't always track the ball that way. But as we saw in the Ohio State-Michigan game, it is easy to screw up a call. And I haven't seen that enough because we were obviously at the Iron Bowl. But I haven't seen enough replays of that, whether or not the Ohio State player on fourth down actually got a first down to extend that game.
The spotting of the ball is a hugely inexact science.
And it's amazing. I mean, this is something that really does bother me about football, other than, you know, what I said on the air on PBS last night. What bothers me about football is, you know, with this so-called game of inches, that every little centimeter matters so much, and that's how the game is won and lost. Is the most inexact. This is like, I'll operate. If you imagine a surgeon operating, like heart, liver, kidney, I'll just go in where I go in. I mean, it's ludicrous. We present this sport as a sport of absolute precision where you fight for every last millimeter, and then the guys just spot the ball wherever they want to spot it. They literally walk over and they're like,
it's about here. Give or take.
I love it when they pull those sticks out to measure.
Like, the sticks are exact.
And they got tangled. Remember, they got tangled up?
They pull the sticks out, and they're like, oh, he was – and they put his fingers like there's like a hair in between them. I'm like, it doesn't matter because you just put the ball wherever you wanted. You literally put the ball wherever you wanted. Now, so they can at this point – and the NFL, I believe, has already been in the beta test mode of this, and I think this year they already started that. They can find out whether or not a ball – actually crosses the first down line. You, through fiber optic technology, through sensors, through GPS technology, you can figure that out. And not quite in real time, but in just about real time.
It's about a second.
There's a little delay on that. But you can certainly, for replay purposes, you can make it work.
One of, I think, the next big debates in sports is, do we go fully dependent on technology, or do we keep as much human element in sports as people seem to want? I mean, you look at baseball, our friends at Real Sports did this segment where umpires, you're talking about the strike zone, miss about 7% of balls and strikes. And anybody who watched the World Series saw some very significant pitches called strikes that were balls or called balls that were strikes, and it had an impact on the World Series. There is technology that exists that can call balls and strikes supposedly accurately. People don't want that. They want the human element, and I think we're going to come in and we're going to see camps start to form of people that want the game to be legislated correctly via technology or want it to be legislated via humans as it is now.
So I think we talked about this on the air, and you know, we've talked to John Frankel, who did this piece, and he was a little perplexed by the number of people that seem to want the technology to, you know, kind of just stay on the wayside. We'll use it for a couple things, but not for – that's what I never understand.
I don't understand that either. You got to go all in on technology or get rid of it for good. Just get rid of all of it.
Where I think you can find the middle ground, I can even understand a little bit the baseball thing, because umpires are, to some extent, truly part of the game. They baseball fans really feel like these umpires are part of the game. I don't know of anyone – that looks at a football ref and says, that guy is actually part – like, they just want the spot right.
I agree with you on that perception, but it's wrong. I mean, a baseball umpire and a football referee have basically the same impact on a game. I agree with the perception,
I agree with you, because I'm all about technology. Get the human error out of everything. I'm ready for – drive the car by itself, too. I mean, let's do it, all right? But that's not going to be a very popular sentiment right now. But that said, all right, I think you're a baseball guy. The strike zone has always been thought of as kind of a malleable space that is kind of created and altered based on kind of the, you know, the nuances of that particular game. And baseball fans that I talk to seem to like the fact that you learn what that strike zone is that day, and the umps kind of call it based on the moment. And I don't believe in that, but that's what baseball fans believe, a lot of them at least. No football fan is like, you know, some days you give them a little extra yardage. Some gave you. Football fans want it exactly right.
This particular referee plays on a 103-yard field. It's just the way he
right.
works. It's quirky.
Football is one of those sports where we should be able to get it right, right? And I would like to see to see football use this technology. By the way, imagine if we could do something a little bit more complicated through sensors. What if we actually started calling travels in basketball because we could actually tell that guy took four steps?
This is something that we love to talk about here in the classroom. Unfortunately, we're out of time this week, but this is certainly going to come back up again.
Yeah,
so more on sports and technology in the future. Right now, we got to take a break. Come back. We've got grades of the week, and believe it or not, this is perfect. Includes an unorthodox punishment. So stay tuned for that. Grades of the week ahead here on Fox 1220 97.3 ESPN Radio. Little bit of Mike Wallace's penance is coming up right here. Welcome back in the classroom, your weekly Smarter Than Good Sports. Jeff Brawl, Keith Shredler, Anna Grizz-Willis, and a tardy Mike Wallace. As you know in the classroom, if you're just joining us, if you do not show up, or if you are the reason that we do not have our audio elements to roll in, including our segments, you have to sing them. So Mike Wallace, get the people ready for Grades of the Week.
No.
He just refuses.
I can't remember the grades of the week.
The violin, the British accent.
No,
that's
esoteric.
Oh,
yeah. I can't remember
the grades of the week.
Grades have changed.
Oh. Grades of the week is
now
the
it's like,
songs. It's the compilation
it's
of all
whole,
songs.
Now it's Major Tom.
Yeah, it's gotten weird. Oliver put it some handiwork. You're thinking of the old one.
Ground control.
Yeah.
To Major Tom.
And it went to whole. Right.
Well, let's just get right to it.
The grade.
Let's just get right to it. Sometimes.
Of the week.
Sometimes we step away from the realm of sports. And this week, I think it's important that we do so because there is an unorthodox punishment for people that may run afoul of the law in Canada. So the holiday season sees an uptick in people that drink and drive. Do not do this, by the way.
No.
Do not drink and drive.
I have a lot of pet peeves. That's
just don't do it.
Yeah,
and it's not about you. If you're the kind of idiot that's going to do it, we don't care about you. We care about the other people.
I mean, I
we
care about you the a little bit, people. But yeah.
Yeah, but as we learned, you're a liberal namby-pamby. You know, your stupid choice is fine. Just don't allow your stupid choice to impact others.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my stance.
Don't put anyone else in your car. Don't put your kids in the car.
So,
exactly.
If you've had a drink, don't drive.
Yes.
Especially
don't get in the car.
Don't do it in the Canadian town of Kensington.
Okay.
Because there, the cops are cracking down on drinking and driving this holiday season. And, of course, they have put on Facebook, just reiterating the penalties. If they catch you drinking and driving, you will receive a hefty fine, a criminal charge, and a one-year suspension of your license. However, they have added this holiday
season. That's a normal. I've seen that a lot.
They've added a special treat if you get pulled over for drinking and driving. In the squad car as they take you to the station, they will play Nickelback.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Oh, no.
So, Keith Strudler, grade that punishment.
That's an A+. I mean, because that's a horrible thing. And because that's at that point, you're like, look, just get me to the station. Just get me there. Like they should just drive around longer. Drive around longer. I will tell you, once when I was in high school, I got in my car, back when there were cassettes, I got a cassette stuck in my cassette deck, and it was in there for 8 months.
Was that a Pain cassette?
No.
Is that why you think there's
no
good?
Not your mother.
No, that wasn't. No, it was Pain wasn't out there. It was Bruce Hornsby.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
that's
I
the way
love
it
Bruce
is.
Hornsby.
Well, you don't love it after that.
That's just
after that,
the way
they,
it is.
Yeah, I knew that album. So, and
could
after
be
about
worse. Could be Pain.
After about 8 months, I was like, I can't take it anymore. And I took a wire hanger, and I knew I might electrocute myself, but I couldn't take it. And I stuck it in there, and smoke started coming out of it. And then I was like, Dad, I got to get a new stereo. The thing busted.
That's all the time we've got in the classroom this morning. I want to thank one of our favorite guests, Rob Bolin from Ohio University, for coming on. All of the interns for the Marist College Center for Sports Communication today.
Except me.
Helping out on the fly.
Except
because
Mike
Wallace was a little tardy. He gets no thanks. No thanks for today's performance. But Anna, the rest of the crew, helping out for your weekly Smarter Than Good
Sports. Good to see our disaster plan in action.
And you know what? It was nice to see some of the role players step up when needed.
Solid
it's nice to know
dancers.
There's a next man up when Mike Wallace clearly becomes derelict of duty.
That's true.
My partner is Dr. Keith Schroeder, runs the Marist College Center for Sports Communication. Don't forget that you can like The Classroom on Facebook. Search for ESPN The Classroom. Follow us on Twitter at ESPN _Classroom. Archives available on iTunes. Our Iron Bowl show will be up
soon.
We're
getting it all up, so you're going to go check that out. And, of course, check out my PBS commentary, which will be on The Classroom Twitter feed as well.
And comment on it. Tell them what you think.
Tell me what you think.
Join us next week, 10 a.m. to noon. We will hear from NBA Commissioner David Stern on what Mike Wallace's punishment shall be. We'll see you then. I'm Jeff Brault. Class is dismissed.